In a world where 36% of children are born without fathers and half of marriages end in divorce, here's one father who cares about the future of the next generation. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators of Colorado. I'm a pastor, but the reason I'm here today, I'm a father of five. I'm also a son, and my dad was out here visiting us, about 2-3 weeks ago. And, Dad went to Elish Gardens this time around. You know, Six Flags Elish Gardens. And it turns out you can get in free if you're 70 years old. He's 70. So he got in free, and he was ecstatic. He thought, this is great. And he rode the boomerang.
What's the boomerang?
The boomerang is, you don't even want to know. I mean, this is a pretty intense ride. I was shocked. He wanted to go on the boomerang. So he rode the boomerang. He came off, he says, I had a hard time keeping my glasses on. He was holding on to his glasses the whole time. And it just whacks your head all over the place.
I could see why you'd want to put 70-year-old gentleman on a thing like that. That'd be really good.
Man alive. You know, Dave, today we want to talk about music again, Christian contemporary music. I don't know if you know about this, but I was a disc jockey. I was a radio announcer back in the 1980s and worked the CCM format. Probably the most interesting station I ever played was a hard rock station. And they let me, this was a secular rock station, they let me do a Christian rock program on Sunday mornings. I came in right after Hot Metal Soup, and actually, for a time, I would even backmask some Christian lyrics, because the guy before me would leave, and he'd just leave his Black Sabbath playing. I'd turn down the mic a little bit and say, repent and believe on Jesus.
They went from playing Nazareth to you talking about Nazareth,
yeah,
apparently.
Pretty much. Well, the question today, folks, is why should the devil have all the good music? And we want to look at Christian contemporary rock. I mean, should Christians be playing rock music? Now, Larry Norman, you remember Larry? Larry Norman was cutting records in 1968 when the Beatles were doing Yellow Submarine. He was doing Christian contemporary back then. He's the father of modern Christian rock. And, he's still alive. And he's got a website, LarryNorman.com. I checked it out. I was actually pretty impressed with Larry Norman back in the 1970s. And here's a recent quote. I think this is interesting. This is 45 years into the Christian contemporary rock scene. Now listen to what Larry Norman says. I think that maybe the best way to liven the church up is to throw out all the music and start preaching the gospel. And start requiring the people to accountability, tell people to confess their sins one to another. I think that if people would really do what the Bible says, the church would be alive. I don't think that lively music is going to make the church more alive. Well, that's Larry Norman, 40 years after he started the whole business back in the 1960s. Ladies and gentlemen, I've gone back to CCM music. I've been without it now for, 10, 15 years, Dave? I have not been on the Christian contemporary music scene. So, the last couple of days, I've turned on the CCM music station out here in Denver, Colorado. And I've learned a bunch of things about Christian contemporary music by listening to this stuff. One thing I have learned is it's all very positive and encouraging. The announcer has told me about 100 times that this is positive and encouraging. And trust me here, I am positive and encouraged big time after listening to contemporary Christian music for the last 2 days.
Kevin, contemporary Christian music has really undergone big changes since you were playing it back at that station. It's no longer on records. It's now on CDs.
Ladies and gentlemen, contemporary Christian music. There's some bright spots out there, some good stuff out there. We are going to take a look at it today. Why should the devil have all the good music? Good question on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
Fasten your seatbelt. Hang on to your hat. Generations will be right back.
Folks, we are back. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations, and today we want to talk about Christian contemporary music. I spent about 2 days listening to Christian contemporary music and came off very positive and encouraged. But Dave, one of the questions I think you need to consider is what does someone think when they have just come upon this Christian contemporary music? They've never heard it maybe in their entire lives. Maybe it's an unbeliever who's tuned into a Christian contemporary station, and they're just listening for the first time. Now, as I was listening to 2 days of Christian contemporary music, this is basically what I got. There's a whole bunch of people out there singing about somebody named Jesus. Now, Jesus helps people. We know that. He wants me just the way I am. I am living in the embrace of heaven. I'm loving Jesus all the way. Nothing I could ever do could keep me from you. We need to be covered by his blood. I'm not really sure exactly why he died. And one of the things that occurred to me is that my Hindu friend, I think, would have really enjoyed this station for a good amount of what we were listening to. There's not much about the Trinity. There's not much about Christ, the two natures of Christ, who he was exactly, the God nature of Christ, sin. You don't get much about sin. You just don't hear much in terms of the law of God, which, of course, is the definition of sin, the breaking of the law of God. There's not much about external living. There's a lot about internal living, about prayer, about meditation, but not much about external living. You don't have much worldview here. And a good question I think you need to ask from time to time is how does this distinguish the faith from, say, Hinduism or Shintoism? My father used to ask that question about some hymns, not all hymns, but occasionally there would be a hymn that didn't have a whole lot of content. For example, I come to the garden alone, the dew is still in the roses, etc., etc., etc. I walk with him, I talk with him. Again, how does this differ from New Age? How does this differ from Hinduism? I think we need to ask that question. It's a viable question. It's not to say that all music is bad. It's not to say all the Christian contemporary music out there is bad at all. There's some good stuff out there. And yet there's not a lot about worldview. There's not a lot that establishes the real reality of God and his law system.
So if a Hindu is listening to Christian contemporary music, he also will walk away feeling positive and encouraged.
I think so. And Chad, my assistant here, Chad, you were in the car with us. Do you feel positive and encouraged? Yeah, he did as well. So we're feeling very good. Now, the other point I want to make is that I want a little tension in my songs. I want some sin. I want some sin. I want to see some sin, because without sin, I don't even understand grace and redemption. Grace and redemption becomes kind of this insipid thing. And, you know, I think you need some level of tension. You need to understand why Christ died. In order to understand grace, don't you have to have some concept of the law that was broken? You know, and I think it would be helpful if Christian music included some concepts of sin. I can remember a Larry Norman song called One Time, where he talked about this girl who was on cocaine, and he kept on asking the question, why can't you be good? I thought that was one of the better songs that had been written in Christian contemporary. And he was really pushing this issue. Why can't you be good? Why can't you be good? And of course, the song ended with some redemptive theme. But you at least had a concept of sin. You at least had a concept of sin, therefore showing the need for God's grace and God's redemption and saving us from the sin. We can't be good, obviously, without the redemption of Christ.
Kevin, I think what your critique is saying is that so much Christian music points to the effects of sin. It says that we need this, we need to feel good, we need deliverance, we still need a Savior, we need to be thankful, but it isn't giving us the cause of our despair.
Yeah, and so I'm not sure I want to be positive and encouraged all the time. I do want to see a proper concept of our problems, our grief, our sin, and then I want it relieved or resolved in redemption.
So you would like a balance that's, say, more reflective of the Psalms of David, where
sure,
there's some despair, there's some sorrow, but there's also joy.
You got it. You got it. Now, the other thing is that our relationship with God needs to be characterized by love and fear. We're to love God, we're to fear God. Now, Dave, which do you think was mentioned more often in the music I heard over the last 2 days, love or fear?
Oh, I know this one.
Okay,
I know this one.
Go for it.
Love by about 10,000 to 1.
10,000 to 1, you got it. Now, there are some exceptions to this. Rich Mullins' song, they did play Rich Mullins' song, Our God is an Awesome God. And I'll tell you what, there's some powerful lyrics in that one.
Yeah, he's got lightning in his hand and thunder in his fist or something
like
that.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely expresses the fear of God. The beginning of a biblical worldview, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And I think if we lose this concept of the fear of God, we've got a problem. And I think it'd be helpful if more of these artists understood the fear of God and would reflect it in the fabric or the emotional fabric of the songs they present.
Well, Kevin, I think that's asking an awful lot, because most of the contemporary Christian artists are teenagers or people in their young 20s, very immature Christians who don't understand the fear of God themselves.
Francis Schaeffer found that the postmodern worldview lost a unity in knowledge and a unity in life, and therefore postmodern art tends to be fragmented. Hence you get Picasso, Cezanne, and other artists of the modern world that painted the world in fragmented pieces. Humanity is increasingly fragmented, said Francis Schaeffer. Remember, a man's art is the direction of his heart and the process of his life. Thus, modern art presents a fragmented concept of reality. Now, I want to translate this into modern music. If you look at the lyrics, if you look at the poetry of a lot of modern music, you get the feel that everything is all chopped up. You don't get a unity flowing in the diversity. Dave, I think you find this in Christian contemporary music, too. You've got lyrics that just go from here to here to here, and there's not a lot of connection in the music itself.
In fact, if you look at Christian contemporary music videos, you'll see that it's one video fragment after another video fragment with no transition, with nothing unifying the whole theme except perhaps the music in the background was the same piece of music. But it is simply little pieces, little slices of life with no coherent meaning.
Yeah, and that's, of course, the postmodern worldview. And I wonder if Christian artists are aware of a biblical worldview versus the postmodern worldview. Now, there are a couple of things you're going to see happening in Christian contemporary music, and these are the sorts of things that I was experiencing as I was listening to it. One of the things that I picked up on right away is you tend to get a very simple hook. You know, I know that hooks have been used in pop music for quite some time now, ever since Elvis Presley was singing All Shook Up. An effective hook is typically, you know, 3 to 6, 7 words or 6 notes that are repeated over and over again. You're almost programmed to like it. And if they can get you to like it after playing it 4 times over the first 2 days of hitting the playlist, the song's going to make it. Now, if they can't get you hooked on it the first, you know, 16 times they play it over those first 2 days, then it's not going to be one of the top 40 hits. But if they can get you to hooked on the hook itself, then you've got a good song. Now, and what my point is that pop music isn't necessarily good music. I think some of it is and some of it isn't. But the hook seems to be what they're going for. Its merit seems to be its ability to establish an immediate control over the emotions of the populace. It doesn't have to have any depth to it. It doesn't have to be truthful even. I mean, you could have a hook that doesn't express any depth or a hook that doesn't express any real truth. But it's a hook. And suddenly you've got a million kids hooked on this thing. Dave, this has been a popular way to sell music since the 1950s, 1960s.
Well, it's because Christian contemporary music is just like every other kind of music out there. It's broadcasted. It needs to appeal to a broad, diverse audience. And the more people who listen, the more people who buy records, the more financially successful it is. And these stations need to finance themselves and stay in business. So this becomes predominantly an entertainment medium as opposed to a Christian or worship medium. It is just another flavor of the rock station next door.
The other thing I noted as I compared what is happening in music in the 2000s to music in, say, the 1970s and 1980s, I think music is becoming more intense. The intensity is becoming all-consuming. You know, as you listen to this music, this is the way I began to feel. I began to feel like wanting to shake my head around in a crazy kind of way and scream for hours on end, "I love you, Jesus! I love you!" and then bang my head against the wall.
Well, with amplified music, the idea is to get your body to resonate with the music. Not to resonate with the thoughts, but to resonate with the beat, to resonate with the bass rhythms, so that your whole body becomes part of the speakers. It just sort of shakes with it until you become part of the music. And but the way you're talking about shaking your head and all, I'm thinking maybe you need to turn on the radio and ride the boomerang.
Maybe I should. The other thing I noted is, and this is especially true of the guy singers out there, not so much of the gal singers, but you tend to get a high level of affectation in the singing. Sometimes you got the raspy voices, sounds like they're only half there, or they're coming off of a really bad trip. Sometimes you've got this huge overemphasis in the enunciation of words. Hallelujah, Jesus! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! You know, a real heavy, heavy emphasis, sort of like when your second grade teacher was trying to teach you how to pronounce a four-syllable word. I find that happening an awful lot in some of the music. Dave, what do you think that reflects?
Well, I think they're just reflecting. They're actually copying, mimicking some contemporary music that's not necessarily Christian music. They're a facsimile of it. You can find an artist that you like in the greater music world, and there's probably a Christian artist who is a copy of it. They copy the style, the rhythms. You listen to them, and you say, boy, that sounds like so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Well, because it's a copy. And so they're doing exactly what's out there. Christian culture is not leading culture, in other words. We're not leading holiness. We're simply following it with our own little flavor, which is why you have people like Times Warner now offering contemporary Christian music sets. You know, you get the best of music just like they did for the 50s and the 60s. It's just another flavor, another piece of business.
You know, I just sometimes wonder if they are really reflecting the honor that they intend to be reflecting by the words that they're saying. I mean, for example, let's say you're trying to express the fear of God or the honor of God in a particular music, and you get into some kind of a number and you're saying, You gotta fear the old man in the sky.
See, isn't there a point at which the way you say it, your poetry, your method of expression can actually diametrically be in opposition and contradiction to your message? Dave, this is perfect postmodernism. Perfect postmodernism.
Oh, by the way, great air guitar. Great air guitar there.
Thank you very
much. But honor is not a word that you associate with Christian contemporary music. If you've ever seen them in person, if you see the way they dress, if you see the way they do their hair, if you see the way they present themselves in general, there is not honor. Honor is not a word that's going to come to your mind. If there is any honor, it's honor to the secular music heroes, those pagans who are leading the rock and roll scene. It is not honor of church fathers. It's not honor of God, not in the way they dress, they appear, or even the way they do their concerts.
You know, the genius of postmodern music is that you can get the form itself to contradict the very thing you're trying to say in the music. And I think this happens in repetition. For example, the first time you say something, if you say something one time, you know, honor God, you say that. Honor God one time, it's important. You say it two times, it's very important. Honor God, son. You say it the third time, honor God, my son. It's extremely important. Now, the fourth time you say it, it's not very important anymore. The tenth time you say it, your mind knows for sure it's supposed to ignore the message. That is, you know, as you say it more and more and more and more and more, as you repeat it, as you pound it in, as you pound it in, Dave, I think what happens is the mind goes into neutral and you actually turn off the message. The mind is getting the message that the message is not all that important. This is postmodernism. Postmodernism undermines its own message in its music. Why, Dave? Because there is no truth. There is no truth. Postmodernism does not teach truth. And the mind gets that message, that the message is not important in the music that is being conveyed, that is trying to convey the message. But in the process, it conveys the message that the message is not important. This is what postmodern music is about. But Dave, you got to admit that you pound something in 15 times, 20 times, 25 times, 35 times. After a while, it's a hypnotic mantra. And the mantra itself doesn't convey a message anymore. It's just simply putting the mind into some form of a trance. I mean, hey, the Hindus have been doing this since day one. And I think Christians are picking up on that in some venues. Again, folks, we're not trying to contradict all of what is happening in the Christian contemporary scene. We're just saying watch out for these particular things. So we're not trying to criticize all Christian music on this program today. We're just trying to bring up some objective issues that you need to pay attention to as you evaluate the music you listen to. Listen to your music with your eyes wide open, or rather with your ears wide open, and your brain engaged. Now, some people are going to come back to me and say, now, you like your music and I like mine, and there's no objective standard to music. Well, folks, that, again, is excellent postmodern thinking. There are no standards. There are no objectives. No, there are objectives. There are standards. And we're trying to raise a couple of them on this program today. And we have to be very careful not to be simplistic, it's as to say that rock and roll and all rock and roll is of the devil. I mean, I'm not saying that on this program at all. I think it's safe to say that some rock is better than other rock. Wouldn't you agree with that, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Or I would agree that some forms of music might be better than rock and roll as a genre, but I would also agree with Larry Norman that people don't understand their Bibles enough. Larry said, I think that maybe the best way to liven the church up is to throw out the music and start preaching the gospel and start requiring the people to accountability and living out the gospel. I agree with that. I think people are not as mature as they ought to be in the Word of God. And there is this problem of spiritual immaturity, and this immaturity, I think, is going to kill us, Dave. I used to have a habit of eating hot fudge sundaes all the time, and now today I find that it's not as edifying as it used to be. I think for obvious reasons. You're staring at my tummy right now, but hot fudge sundaes are not as edifying as I thought they used to be, and it takes away my appetite for the things that are good. I'm not saying that hot fudge sundaes are
bad, inherently bad. I'll have one occasionally. Hot Fudge Sundays are good on maybe a once every 3 month basis for Kevin Swanson. I used to listen to more CCM and secular rock, like Creedence Clearwater Revival. I used to love Creedence. But over time, I discovered that it wasn't all that edifying. Some of that stuff took away my appetite for in-depth study of the Word of God. And I became sort of a shallow person. I realized that the music I was listening to was forming me into this sort of shallow person. And Dave, Let's admit to it. Music is breaking down. There are a lot of immature forms today, and simplicity itself, of course, is not bad, but there is a simplicity that is deep, and there is a simplicity that is shallow. And just like some novels are sort of shallow, some music is sort of shallow, sort of like cotton candy for the brain. If you get hooked, it will do nothing but keep you immature in your emotional being, in your intellectual being, and the simplicity itself will keep you in that state. So spiritually, that form of music may be less edifying than other forms of music. Now, and in terms of music, there's one more issue, just one more issue before we close this program today, and that is that I don't believe there's enough honor for fathers and mothers out there. If we honored the music of our fathers and mothers, if we didn't feel like we had to continually break down the music form with each additional generation, if we would at least honor the music of our fathers and mothers, Dave, I think we would begin to see an advancement in music, a maturation in music, a growth in music form, only because there were hearts of sons and daughters that wanted to honor their fathers and mothers. God says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives you. God promises a blessing to those that will honor the law system, the culture of their mothers and fathers, to the extent that it was appropriate, to the extent that it submitted itself to the laws of God. But yes, honor your father and your mother. That principle is central to a Christian concept of culture, my friends. Well, let me recommend to you a resource as we wrap up the program today. Kenneth Myers' book, All of God's Children and Blue Suede Shoes, is an excellent book on a Christian view of culture. Again, that's All of God's Children and Blue Suede Shoes by Kenneth Myers. You can get this book, it's a Crossway book, at my website, kevinswanson.com, and click on Store. You can interact with this program, my friends, by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.